Our scripture today is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking all truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You may be seated.
Well, we have things as a church family to be praying for this morning. We're going to continue to pray for the health of some of the people of our church, Gracie Barr and Jim Olson and Ashley Koshick, and we're going to pray for Jim Jackson as his wife, Panetta, has died, and we're going to pray for our pastor, too, as he is spending time with family over this holiday season now. And so would you join me in time of prayer? God, we turn to you with our requests, Lord, with our thanks and our praise, Lord, but also with our requests that we'd like to make before you, Lord, knowing that you're a good Father who gives good gifts to your children. And Lord, we pray in faith for the health and healing of Gracie Barr and for Jim Olson and for Ashley Koshick, Lord, and their families as they're going through health concerns. And we ask, Lord, that your healing touch would be on them, that the comfort of your Spirit would be with them, and as they continue to battle through, Lord, the illnesses and sicknesses that they deal with, Lord. Pray for Jim Jackson, Lord, as he goes through this time of loss, losing Panetta, and pray, Lord, that we as a church body would comfort him, and that again, Lord, your Holy Spirit would be the comforter for him. And thank you, Lord, for Pastor Darren and his wife Brenda and all their kids, Lord. We ask that as they're spending time with family and with each other, Lord, that it would be a wonderful time together and they'd be really blessed by each other's company. Pray that Darren would be refreshed and renewed when he comes back to lead us as a congregation in this new year. We pray for our leaders of our country, Lord, in this new year. Pray that you would remind all, Lord, that you are the hand that moves all the pieces of this world, Lord, and that you are in control, Lord, and help us to look to you ultimately and give put godly people in positions of authority, Lord, or an influence of people who have authority and the people who lead us, Lord. We pray for them, pray for their families. And now, Lord, as we look to your word, I ask that that your Spirit, Lord, which is always speaking, would use the words that you have spoken, Lord, in your word to convict us, to inspire us, encourage us, to share more of your heart with us, Lord. I trust, Lord, that you love all the people in this room much more than I do, and you know what's best for them, Lord, and your word is what is best for us. And so we commit this time, Lord, of learning from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is becoming a normal thing for me now to be the guy who preaches the week after Christmas, isn't it? Some of you might have been here last year when I did too. You might not remember it. It probably wasn't that memorable. But I figure if Darren's going to let me preach on Sundays when he's not here, then I'm going to preach a sermon that he most definitely would not allow me to preach on a Sunday that he's here. And so he'll probably be, Darren, if you're listening to the CD later, sorry. But this is a sermon that just needs to be said, and it's fitting because starting next week we're going to begin a new series on the book of Ephesians, which is going to be called God's Blueprint, as we look at, as Darren guides us through looking at the God's blueprint for the church and families and so on and so forth, that he lays out in the book of Ephesians. And he's even going to talk about the passage that I'm going to talk about this morning, but he's not going to talk about it in the way that I'm going to talk about it. And I think you're going to see what that's like here. But to kind of set your minds on it, when I was at Oak Hills Christian College, we had a costume party, and people came dressed as different things, and some people, you may have noticed this if you've ever been to a costume party, there are some people who try to have costumes that are a pun of some sort. Like, you're supposed to put the pieces together and figure out what the pun is. It's a joke. So one time there was someone dressed as a pig with a thermometer in their mouth, and you're supposed to figure out, oh, they're the swine flu. If you remember that, the swine flu. And then I'll give you a couple, see if you guys are awake and clever for this. Okay, so another example of these costumes is someone who's holding pom-poms and they have a banner around their neck and it says ceiling. What would that be? That would be a ceiling fan. Ceiling fan, yep. Ceiling fan. Yeah. Maybe some of these kind of costumes are coming to mind, or maybe you completely missed that, which is fine too. It saves you a lot of groaning. But I'll give you one more. See if we can guess it. So, someone who's wearing an egg costume, but they also have red horns on. A deviled egg. There we go. All right. Well, at this particular party, there was this really awful costume. And, of course, it was a senior who was dressed this way. But he had a box around himself, a large box. And on the tag, it read, God's gift to women. And I have kept tabs on that person. I believe he is still single. So if he's God's gift to women, apparently women haven't discovered that yet. But I say these things to kind of prep you, because what we're going to go over in this passage is something that that we know in our minds, but maybe in practice and in how we behave, we don't really accept this. But according to the book of Ephesians and what we just read, our pastor, Darren, is God's gift to our church. It says in what we just read, Ephesians 4, in 11, it says, and he gave This Jesus Christ gave. It says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And I just want to start with he gave. This idea, and teacher is in there, and that's where our pastor Darren is referred to here. I want to let you guys know that Darren didn't come from a search committee. He didn't come from a recommendation by the covenant denomination. No, first and foremost, he came to this church from Jesus. He is Jesus' idea of a gift to our church. And if we think about the season that we just went through, and we talked about the Christmas season, and of course Christ is the gift for all of mankind. But Jesus, when he went to be with the Father, he also gave us gifts. And one of them that's mentioned here is that he gave us our teachers, and Darren would be that teacher. It says, it includes some other people, which is very interesting. It says he gave apostles. So here's an interesting thought. He gave the Apostle Paul, who wrote many of the books of the New Testament, God gave the Apostle Paul as a gift to us, for us today. And isn't that true? Think of the impact that the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul has had on you as an individual. I think you would say, yeah, what a gift. Thank you for that gift, Lord, for Paul's life and example. He also gave us the prophets. Think of all the prophets, Isaiah and the like, who the same way, the ministry that they had, we study about them and we learn so much through the books of the Bible that tell us God's message through these people who were God's mouthpiece, these prophets. And evangelists too. Perhaps just think about your own faith and how you came to Christ. There probably was someone in your life who was that evangelist, whether they were a stranger that was preaching and sharing the gospel with you, or whether it was just a friend who was telling you about how you can be born again, how Jesus has impacted their life. God gave those evangelists to you. And that's why you're here. But God also gave us our teachers or our pastors. Another way it's translated is shepherd teachers. And I'm bringing this up because not enough pastors feel like gifts to their church. Sometimes pastors might feel more like their curses to the church. Now, I'm not saying that Darren feels like that at all. This church is very wonderful to me and to the Olson family I know. And but I want you to kind of think from his about your pastor, Darren, and what we can do to make him feel like a gift. And what is our pastor's job? Well, Ephesians tells us, but what are the expectations that we have for our pastor? Sometimes it feels like the job of the pastor in some people's minds is you got to preach every Sunday, you got to lead Sunday school classes, you've got to lead the Bible studies, you've got to receive many phone calls from us all week. Probably got to clean the bathrooms too. Every formal event, you're going to be the one who's going to pray. You have to visit all the sick, convert the whole town, and you have to raise a family at the same time. Now, of course, we wouldn't say that those are expectations, but what are our expectations of what the pastor's role is? Well, Ephesians tells us the reason why Jesus gave our pastor to our church, and the answer is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Darren's job, according to Jesus, according to the expectations that he has, is to equip you to do ministry. To equip you to do the ministry. Not for him to do all of the ministry in our community, in our church, but God has given each one of you gifts to use, and it's Darren's role to equip you to do ministry. You see, ministry isn't just a pastor's job. It's not just for the professionals. It's all of our jobs. This is the design that God has for the church. Now, equip is a very interesting word because there's another place in the Bible where that same word for equip is used, and it's actually in the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to read this quick because it's in one verse. Matthew 4, verse 21, it's when Jesus called his first disciples. And the word, the same word that's used for equip in Ephesians is used here. See if you can identify it. It says, "And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." So that same word was in there. Do you think you might have an idea which word it is? The word is mending. You catch how they were mending their nets. That's the same word that is used in Ephesians to equip the saints. So you can picture these fishermen on the shore between times out going for a catch, mending their nets or equipping their nets. And as they drag those along in the water and they catch on rocks, some of those holes get bigger and they need to mend the nets and equip them and make sure that they're all in proper relationship with one another so that there aren't big holes in these nets and the fish don't slide right through. Use that as a picture to think of what Darren's job is in our church, to be mending our church or equipping you for the ministry. So in a way, it's as if Darren is putting us back together like a net, as a whole church, being one net, all in proper relationship with one another. And doesn't this make sense? Because in Ephesians here, the metaphor for the church is a body. We're called the body of Christ. And it goes on to use that metaphor in many places whenever it refers to the body of Christ, the church. And so, on a body, if a shoulder is out of joint, then a doctor would equip the shoulder so that it's in proper alignment, in proper relationship with the rest of the body, and that would be the way that a doctor would equip you. And so equipping, in many ways, is about relationship because it's about bringing things into proper relationship with the rest of the body. And the reason why I bring this up is because we may think in our minds equip, when if the pastor's job is to equip us, then that merely means that he's supposed to train us in the skills, the ability, the how-tos of ministry so that we could go and do it. But the problem with this, and I may be young, but I've grown up in the church my entire life, and the greatest liabilities in church are the people who have all the how-tos, all the know-hows, but they are not in proper relationship with the rest of the body. They're not in a love relationship with the family of God around them, and they become the greatest liabilities because they know so much, but they love so little. And so they're the most dangerous people in the church. So it's not merely about the how-tos and the skills, which are important, but it's about being in proper relationship with the rest of the body. God's perspective and his design for the church, he sees it as a whole body, and that's what his desire is. As we continue to read, you'll see that. And so, what is the ministry that you're being mended or equipped for? Well, it says, we already read a little bit, it's for the building up of the body of Christ. I'm going to read 13 through 15 again. The building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the full stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And so the goal that God has for the church is to build up the body of Christ to be just like the head, which is Jesus Christ. That our entire church would look and act a lot like Jesus, who is our head and who is our leader that we follow. And this is why God has given us a pastor in Darren, is to equip us to do that. And as we do that, we grow up as a whole church, and our church becomes more like Jesus. An older mentor taught me a lesson out of the book of Ephesians here that has stuck with me for a very long time. And he said this, don't get too involved in personal growth, or you will miss out on growth through helping others grow. And he was saying that because as he was reading this passage, and if you look at it, you see that God's concern, his primary concern when it comes to the church, is for the church as a whole to grow up to be like Christ. And a lot of times we have a lot of individuals who are just thinking about themselves and aren't concerned about the growth of the person next to them or the other people in the church. But God has made it in such a way that we will actually, our own personal growth will be stunted in some way if we're not using our gifts, abilities, the things that God has given us to help the church on the whole grow. And I see this over and over because as nowadays so many people are leaving the church and they're just doing Jesus and me. Saying, you know what, I don't need the church and all that religion and all those people. As long as I have Jesus and me, that's all I need. The problem is, Jesus will not let you grow into full maturity in Christ because that's not the way he's designed it. He's designed it for you to grow in the church as you look to the concerns of others and you help the church on the whole grow. Our first concern of spiritual growth should be for the growth of the church. Why? Because it's Jesus' first concern. And what he wants to do is to foster the growth of the church. And he does this by giving you everything necessary to do that work. And that's why he gave us our pastor, so that he would equip us to build us up as a church with Christ as the head, so that, and this is where verse 16 comes in, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint in proper relationship, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the whole body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so I would challenge you that how much you care about your pastor reflects how much you care about the growth of the church. And my dad is a pastor, and I asked him, what makes you feel most appreciated by the people of your church? And this is what he said, and I think this, I think Darren would really appreciate these things too. I didn't talk to Darren and ask him about those things. Again, I say, he has no idea that I'm doing this. But my dad said that what makes him feel most appreciated in the body of Christ is when he sees other people getting involved in ministry. When he sees people putting the teachings that he's taught into practice in their lives. And so he really appreciates more than a handshake and good message, Pastor. He really appreciates the stories about how God's word is affecting their lives. And maybe something that he taught, how it's affecting their lives. Oh, interesting. Now, as I said, our church is very wonderful. And we feel very appreciated by everyone in this church. And especially come Pastor Appreciation Month and thing like that. I've never actually been in a church that really observes a pastor appreciation before, and it's so wonderful, and the encouraging things that people write on cards. And I want to tell you that when you thank Darren, or when you shake his hand at the back, he probably really appreciate hearing sometime about something that he said that's challenging you. Or something that God is teaching you through the scripture that he was speaking on, and how it's affecting your family and your life and your growth. And, of course, stepping into ministry where there's a need and being concerned about the rest of the body of Christ, making sure that we're growing up as one. Hebrews 13:17 tells us to to be good and to respect the leaders that God has put over us, and as they do their ministry. And it says, so that they will serve among you without with joy and not with grumbling. And that's a very nice goal to have. If we could have Darren serve us, and it be actually a joy for him to serve in our church, and to not do his job of equipping with grumbling. And so, the ways that you can do that, I would encourage all of us to do, myself included, is to step into your ministry. To use your gifts, use your time and your resources towards building up the body of Christ. Of course, continue to pray for your pastor. Pray and pray and pray for your pastor and for their family. And somebody once told me that one of the best ways that I can love them is to love their kids. And if any of you have had kids, you might say that's true. If you love my kids, that is a great way to show that you love me. So continue to love Darren and Brenda's kids. Show them that they're valued, and in that way you can really love your pastor. And in a really cool way, then each one of us can become God's gift to our pastor. So let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you gave our pastor Darren to us. And Jesus, you did give him to us, and you're using him, Lord, to do the ministry that you designed for the church, Lord, that we would have a pastor over us, that he would encourage us and equip us and bring us in a proper relationship with one another so that we would grow as a church to become more and more Christ-like. Help us to become concerned, Lord, with the growth of the church and to look at the gifts and the availability that we have and to ask ourselves and ask you, Lord, where they can be used and who could use our help. And thank you, Lord, for this church, for all the people here, and for the ways that they already make us as pastors feel very appreciated. Let them know, Lord, that appreciation goes a very long way, and let Darren serve with joy, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.